Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to another episode of Finding You with Marvin Rone and my co-host Stan Macklin. We have another wonderful episode for you today. Just sit back and relax and let it do what it do. As Finding You begins another episode right now. Ow. Come on, y'all. Let's get started. It's Finding You with Marvin Rone, and as always, we begin with the Empowerment Pledge, and that pledge is, I will work on myself. I will work on my issues, my concerns, my hurts, and my pains. And if you will, with support and assistance, strive to develop those tools necessary to become a better person, then you will get better every day at working on yourself and your life. And that's what it's all about. It's about motivation and personal empowerment. It's putting your life and yourself first in the most positive and affirming way. So if you will, begin to practice every day becoming better, working on yourself, examining yourself, looking at your ways, your attitudes, your dispositions, and the things that you know you need to work on and change within yourself, you will have it. And that's it. That's the Empowerment Pledge. So work on yourself every day. Do the best you can to take the time out to examine yourself and your ways today and every day. Today we have a special show for you today. We have a word from author, motivational speaker, and minister, Ronald Cooper. So without delay, coming to you from our Harrisonburg studios. Oh, he's not in yet. Anyway. We will begin our show with a word from author Ronald Cooper. Mr. Cooper, are you there?
I am. How are you today, sir?
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
I'm absolutely awesome. And yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I'm blessed, highly favored, and taking one day at a time.
That's great.
That's great. So tell us a bit about yourself. We'll bring Stan in just a moment, and we'll get on with the interview.
Okay. I'm Ronald Cooper, just down to earth, born again, spirit-filled, energetic type of guy that actually get a lot of joy and pleasure out of adding value to people's lives.
All right. I heard that. Okay, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Stan Macklin, coming to us live from the Harrisonburg studio. Stan.
Hey, Brother Rone, glad to be ready for another episode of Finding You. And we'd like to say welcome to Way from New Mexico.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be with both of you.
All right. All right, so tell us how we can win in life in a greater way.
Actually, there are several keys to winning in life in a greater way, and one is through exercising clear imagination. The greatest nation in all of the universe is our imagination, and it has such a great impact in and on our lives in that we need to stop for a moment, working on ourselves, checking to see what are we imagining. Are we imagining the good, the bad, the indifferent, the in the middle, or just what? So that's one central key to winning in life in a greater way, is exercising a clear imagination. Know exactly what it is that you desire in life, in whatever part of life that is, whether that's physical, social, financial, material, or whatever dimension in life, get a clear picture of that and continue to hold it, and the natural forces of the universe will bring a person toward whatever that person is imagining.
Wow.
Yes,
no.
It's powerful. It's absolutely powerful. There's nothing like it on the whole face of the earth as it embodies an individual's life.
Well, Brother Cooper, let me ask a question about that, because that's a profound statement, and it's definitely has some biblical roots, because it just so happens to be that one of the blockbusters film that's playing across the nation at this particular time is Noah. I don't know if it's hit down there in Albuquerque where you are, but in remembering the story of Noah, imagination was one of the main reasons that God decided to do what he did in terms of starting all over again. Man's imagination had kind of, he didn't have a clear picture, let's say it like that, as you
wow.
alluded to.
Yes.
So I think it's really profound that you mentioned about the imagination aspect, when the imagination of man at that particular time was so out of whack and so warped that he had to say, he repented in his heart. He even made man, and he decided to preserve that family and start all over again.
Absolutely.
Okay, is that kind of what you're talking about when you say a clear picture? Or
Yes, absolutely. And to take that just a bit further, you know, all of the truths that you had just alluded to is absolutely the case, and we would find ourselves being better served if we would use those mental pictures, those snapshots in our minds to help us achieve the life that we desire and the life that we deserve.
Wow.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Now, you know, this book is fantastic. I tell you, as a matter of fact, that's why I checked in a little late. I was doing a recheck on a couple of things and found myself caught up in it. But,
thank you.
Yeah, but I just want to kind of focus on a couple of things and win in life a greater way. I'm really interested in a lot of the things that it's saying. You talk about success profiles. You use a lot of notable men and women, such as Denzel Washington, Mary Kay Ash, Albert Einstein, Golda Meir, and Colin Powell. That was kind of unique in you doing that. I think that it's a faith-based book, but you use some practical men and women of life, period.
Absolutely.
Tell us more about that.
Yes. The idea behind that is that regardless to who we are, where we are, what we've been through in life, what we are going through in life, what we will go through in life in the future, out of all of those legendary profiles,
mm-hmm.
in all likelihood, regardless to who the person is, they'll be able to relate to at least one of those people.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
you,
true.
You see what I'm saying? And as
yeah.
a result of relating to one of those people, they will be able to say, I didn't even realize this about so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they walked through that in their life to get to where they got. And you know, inspiration is contagious.
Oh,
you be reading about somebody, and the spark flies in your heart, say, you know what? I believe I really can achieve what I'm set out to do. And so that's the main reasoning by putting those notable profiles in there, that people can relate and get a higher degree of hope, inspiration, motivation, encouragement, and empowerment to go ahead and really do what they were designed to do on this earth. Oh, it's nothing like it.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, you also talked about two other highlights I just wanted to pull out. You talked about biblical self-confidence, and we'll come back to that. Biblical self-confidence.
Yeah.
And this was, I thought this here was a very profound statement, because all throughout the book is based on principles of heaven to win in life a greater way. But you talked about the principle of biblical self-love. Now, I know a lot of people are suffering from self-love. Just in Murrysville, Pennsylvania, young man went through the hallway stabbing people, and 20 young people were had to be rushed off to the hospital.
Sure.
That, there's something lacking in an individual life, or something's going on in a person's life that experienced that. But this is what you said. You talked about the principles of biblical self-love, and you said, but it's not to be confused with the attitude of superiority, that you're superior than somebody else.
Right, right.
That you're, you follow what I'm saying, that you're better
than
somebody else. Elaborate on that.
Yes. Just because we, those believers and those who are yet to believe, exercise self-love based on the fact that the divine first loved us,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we, once we connect with him, we have that capacity to exercise love for ourselves. And again, this is not to be confused with narcissism or going off on some kind of ego trip and all of that. It's just simply the healthy kind of I love myself.
Mm.
I love myself because my creator who made me loves me. So he is the hallmark example of love. So I'm just following his lead to love myself, and to love myself unconditionally, not based on what I have, what I don't have, what I've experienced, what I haven't experienced, what my name is, where I live, what I drive, what I wear. No. That is a great misconception that society has permeated and the humankind has bought into. But we don't have to have anything to love ourselves. It's totally unconditional. And just because we do, it doesn't make us superior to anybody, but it certainly doesn't make us inferior to anyone either. We are just who we are, basking in the love that the divine creator made us with. And it's wholesome, healthy, positive, and something that you said, Stan, that what happened today recently in Pennsylvania with that young man who did that. And again, now I'm no psychologist, no psychiatrist, so I'm not coming from that point of view. But one of the things that was missing in that person's life is self-love.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because self-love doesn't harm people.
Mm.
Self-love helps people.
That's right.
Come on now. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go a little deeper. Now, we know we're living in times where there are institutions and there are structures that hurt people.
Yes.
Okay. And when this country was established, it was established in a way that benefits and promotes one segment, the dominant side of society.
Yes.
And that is hurting people right today.
True.
Yes.
That's right.
And as goodwill ambassadors, I believe we have to speak up and out about that instead of maybe hiding under the banner of of you know, biblical truths, but we got to put it into action to make it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Well, brother, let me ask you this question, because I'm excited. You know my thing is motivation and empowerment as well, but you got me excited over here. So tell us, what were your motivations for writing this wonderful book, How to Win in Life in a Greater Way?
Twofold. Number one, I was in a major retail store here in the Midwest part of the United States a number of years ago, and I met what we would call a total stranger. You know how you run into people and you speak and one thing leads to another? Well, that was
every
the
day.
Kind of encounter that I had. So in parting, that person said to me, "So someday you're going to write a book." Well, had I not been trained the way I had grew up in the South, you're supposed to be respectful and kind and appreciative to people, I would have laughed in his face. But I didn't do that. I thanked him, but I said to him, I couldn't relate to that on the one hand. But then as I began to walk in doors that had been open for me to do motivational speaking and preaching across the United States, I began to speak on a series, and that series was entitled How to Win in Life in a Greater Way. And so the lights came on. Back to that conversation with that total stranger, you'll write a book someday about this, and surely indeed, fast forward a number of years later, the book was written, and that's the motivation, twofold, meeting that stranger and them speaking that word into my life, and then secondly, having those doors of opportunity of speaking around America on the subject, and it just seemed like such a natural subject for the book, How to Win in Life in a Greater Way.
Wow.
Yes, a greater way. And I just like the cover because you got those keys on the front cover.
Yeah.
And the keys are the principles. You say right out front, principles that will change the way you look at success. Because I think that we look at success in so many different ways, but you outline some basic principles that we just don't pay attention to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And continuing on with those keys, a second key to winning in life in a greater way is what I call targeted thought. Thoughts are units of energy exerting force over our lives. Thoughts are units of energy exerting force over our lives. So it's incredibly important for us to always know what we are thinking.
That's
because
right.
as the divine book says, as a person thinketh, so is that person. We are what we think.
That's
if
right.
we think up thoughts, we'll be up. If we think motivational, empowering thoughts, we'll be motivated and empowered. If we think in thoughts of inspiration, then we'll be inspired. And then not only that, as a result of us being in that right state of whether it's motivation, inspiration, or what have you, then as we run into others, it's contagious. How many times either one of you have spoken to some people or a group of people, and they were so excited about what you had said, they said, you know what? That just lifted my spirit. That encouraged me. That empowered me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, yes. So it's absolutely incredible for us to always be thinking something positive, meditating on something positive, because is actually going to come about. Now, that is the truth of the matter. What we think about is going to be brought about. Let me say it again. What we think about is going to be brought about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you touched on it, that, and you brought it out so wonderfully, because that's what Chapter 2 talks about. But you highlight a part about recalibrating our thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. Now, all of us human beings, it's not that a negative thought will not try to enter our minds. No. We all go through a daily course of life, and some estimates say that the average human being thinks about 60,000 thoughts a day, all right? So with that in mind, some of those will come to us as a negative. But we need to be so on guard that when that negative thought comes, we cancel it. How do we cancel it? We cancel it with its positive counterpart. For an example, some folks woke up this morning and said, it's going to be a wacko day. Then some folks woke up this morning and said, it's going to be a wonderful day. So whichever one they said and thought, they're right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's power in that. It's power in that.
So delete the bad thoughts.
Delete the bad negative thoughts and replace them with a counter positive thought.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. And it has a way of affecting how we feel, how we relate to other people, and so forth and so on. And, you know, we have to love all people. We're called to do that, and we respect and we appreciate that. However, we have to know when to excuse ourselves. And what I mean by that is you're out somewhere and you run into an old friend or what have you. We love old friends and family and all of that. But in the first part of that conversation, you'll know right off whether it's positive or negative. And
mm-hmm.
if it's negative, you know, you look for the first opportunity to excuse yourself. You say, boy, it was sure great to see you today, but, hey, I must hasten on to my next whatever it is and get out of that environment, because if you stay in it too long, it'll turn you.
Don't play around with it.
Yeah, don't play around with it. It's nothing to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no.
In other words, it'll rub off on you. Just like
it'll
that positive,
yeah.
inspirational, motivational, empowering kinds of thinking rubs off on the other will as well. You know, people, some of them, listen, we love them, we respect them, and all of that, but we don't have to hang out in that negativity with them. You know, some folks, the moment that you start talking, they can give you 25 reasons in less than 30 seconds why everything is so this and so that and so the other. So, man, it will bring you from a high down to a low in no time flat. So you have to, again, love them, respect them, but as soon as you can come out of that environment, just excuse yourself. Say, hey, I got to go. Hey, great to see you, but I got to run.
So are you saying that we're to leave them behind?
Not leave them behind in the sense that we are breaking away from them or the relationship.
Okay.
No. We want to be able to be the kind of example to them that they will be drawn more to us than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I mean there. No, we're not going to abandon anybody. Absolutely not. They'll begin to see our lives and how positive and motivational we are, and they'll begin to wonder, what makes them so hopeful, so kind, so and you see what I'm saying? And then as a result of that, maybe the next time you see them at the mall, they'll say, you know what, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, man, you were really on fire. What makes you on fire? See, that opens the door right there for them to come on up a little bit higher and a little bit higher and a little bit higher. And so that's what I mean by that.
Yeah. Now, you know, we're living in the age of social media. As a matter of fact, I just saw some statistics recently said that on an international setting, testing-wise, United States placed low behind China, Korea, and Japan in terms of academic testing.
Yes.
But when it came to social media testing, we scored top. We outscored China, Japan, and Korea. Are we spending so much time in social media that we're just, I don't know, the social interaction or the physical interaction is being overtaken, where our thoughts are just overtaken by all this information? We're living in the information age, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You bring up such an outstanding.
Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
You kind of stopped. We had a pause. Dead
okay.
Space. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Okay. We do live in an informational age, and this is part of the challenge between the regular media and social media. Humankind is bombarded every day, every second of the day, with all of that, which is, as we very well know, is less than positive. And we get so engaged in that kind of thing that if we're not careful in allowing ourselves just a short amount of time to be engaged in whatever positiveness there is in both the secular media as well as social media, if we're not careful, we're drawn into that. You see what I'm saying? And when we're drawn into that, that leaves less time to pursue studies in science, mathematics, technology, so forth and so on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, brother, we are out of time, but I would like to invite you back next week if you have time for some more discussion and some more dialogue on this book. You have a great, great, great wealth of information. Your energy is high, and I want to be able to ask you some questions about how you can apply these tools in a relationship or in a marriage. So if you will join us next week, we have to check your schedule and make sure that's good, but I wanted to put that out there. Stan, do you have any final – well, let me get to you first, Ronald. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, and then Stan, take us away.
Okay. Whoever you are today, please stop long enough to realize that whatever is going on in your life, it can, it will, and it must get better. Just give it a little more cooperation. Put a little more investment into yourself to come up a little higher, and life can be so much better, and you'll start winning in a greater way. Go to Amazon.com. and get the book and start beginning to download the e-book right now and start on your path. And we just know much success to you in every way.
All right, Stan.
Well, you heard it, How to Win in Life a Greater Way. This brother has unleashed the keys, the principles that will cause you to change the way you look at success. And you can go to the archive. This program will be there for you, and you can further study and dialogue off of it. Be sure to tune in next week to Finding You, as usual.
All right. There you have it, a wonderful word from author, minister, and motivational speaker, Ronald Cooper, and myself, co-host Stan Macklin on the Finding You. Join us on the web, www.theempowerment.weebly.com. We have motivation and empowerment out of the window here. So we'll talk to you next week. Love on somebody. Be the best person that you can be. Use the keys to success and become the best person that you can be. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.